condition or trait from past generations. So you have, there's two definitions. You have, you're receiving a quality, good or bad, by transmission from your parent as an offspring. So you're getting all the, how they, how they laugh, how they deal with people. You're learning that as a child, and then you're passing that down. And then there's also possession, physical material possessions, that you leave for your children. So the word transmission implies automation, as in it will automatically be moved to the next generation. So whatever habits or ways about you that you develop will be transmitted also to your offspring. So you're always going to leave some kind of inheritance. Your children will inherit something from you. I mean, they look like you, so that's an inheritance. That's automatic. That's genetic. So there's nothing that you can do about that. And then there's certain attributes that emotionally that they get from you. So John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus left an inheritance. He says he will send the counselor, the spirit, and he will not leave us as orphans. So Jesus was the example of someone who of a father, or yes, a father who would leave an inheritance in a sense, as in he left us an inheritance called the Holy Spirit, right? So that inheritance allows us to learn about the access that we have to all the things that belong to us as children of God. He says he will not set he didn't just go straight to so he didn't just go straight to heaven, right? So he thought about what we will need if he should leave us. So he left us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to the counselor, as in someone who helps you make decisions for your life. So that was what he saw. He didn't just go straight to heaven and wash his hands of his disciples. He still felt responsible for them and knew that it will be to their betterment should he leave the should he leave them the Holy Spirit or send them the Holy Spirit. So the importance of leaving an inheritance is big. I know that some parents feel that it's important to that their children's, it's to suffer like they did. No, that's not necessary. The whole point of you suffering like you did and gaining what you've gained is so that your children can start off where you never had an opportunity to start off, so that they can start off for the next generation, and you have from blessing to blessing, glory to glory. So it's not necessary to force struggle on your children because you feel like you struggled, so they should struggle. No, it does not. That does not build character. What you teach, what you have, is what builds. So if you don't have it, then they're not going to have character themselves. So forcing struggle on your children and saying, "Oh, it'll be okay." No, you have to consider what you're leaving behind. The legacy that you're leaving behind is not just physical; it's also spiritual. It's emotional. It's how you. It's the characteristics that you teach, not force, teach. And those things will be picked up automatically if you're if you're a good parent, a good father, or a bad father. So, this is what I personally I'm learning, and what I wanted to speak on. So, thank you.
Hold on 1 second. Thank you very much. Our first speaker just finished talking about a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. So, what we want to do is, after his own first talk, before you start, we want to take reaction to the question so that we know we really dealt with every single question the way we want it to be. So I don't know if anybody has contribution to say about this first one. What are the inheritance we expect to leave for our children? We're going to be taking hands, but please, everybody that is going to be talking, we're giving you 60 seconds, please. 60 seconds, that's 1 minute, everybody. So we'll start from Daddy.
Topic. We have to be careful the inheritance we leave for our children. The number one, the one I have in mind is that of honesty and truthfulness. No, I have an example in my home, in my hometown, in my village. Now, there's a family that, if you go near them, to a very dishonest family, if I started from their father, because what this man was doing was that he became a chief in my place. He will go to, he'll go and beat up the Christians, try to jail them. I mean, he was fighting Christianity. And what happened was that his children, they never even went to school. Now, all the children, what they did, in fact, one ended up as an armed robber, one ended up as, in fact, anybody knows them, we all know them as a very dishonest family. So I'm telling you what not to leave for your offspring. The first thing, you have to be very, very truthful and honest. Your family has to be known as an honest and truthful family. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, that's number one. It's not the riches, it's not the money, it's not any other thing. That is the number one legacy you should leave for your offspring. Honesty and truthfulness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if you notice, once is the time for the audience to contribute. We have the time on the screen. And we have to abide by that time, please. So we implore anybody who wants to say anything to go to the point so that we can get others to contribute. Praise the Lord. Who's the next person?
They gave me was to lead me to the Lord. Amen. And that foundation really has enabled me to be where I am today. I think the most important legacy any parent could possibly think about living for their children is spiritual foundation. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, it's good to leave good examples for our children, but I want us also to consider the land that we're in. Retirement, retirement planning. Most of the time we think about ourselves and what we would live on when we retire, but I just want to add that we consider what we can leave for our children as we are planning the retirement. There are tax benefits of the money that you put away. The earlier you start to put away money for your children, the more you would accumulate in the millions if you start early for your children. So then your children will benefit from where we are. So it's something that we need to look into. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I think the choices the fathers are making is so very important, because most times people don't understand. Okay. It has. It has a ripple effect, and it can be very, very deadly. There are choices that parents can make that if the kids, they dwell in those choices, they might not have what it takes to come out of it. So we have to be very careful when you're choosing where to live, your social, you know, circle. You know, whatever you're doing, be very mindful of your choices. Because this goes right there. It gets ingrained in those kids. Only the grace of God can help them. You can shovel the Bible down their throat, but you can make a choice, like Uche said the other day. You put them in an environment that you feel is slick, or you know, you wanted to, you know, carry out the name or whatever social strat that you want. but you can damage them. So the choices we make from head to toe, we have to be very careful, because it's not only us, it goes down, it trickles down, and it can really affect them in future.
Praise the Lord. When the question showed up, he said, a good man. And I think when we're looking at a righteous man too, because if you look at the other part of that verse, that's where it says that the worth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. So when we say a good man, shouldn't a good man be somebody who, first of all, lays the foundation of good things, like good characters and things like that for the children and children's children, because it has to be a legacy that can be passed on to the children's children. The reason why God chose Abraham and made him the father of all nations is because God said, because he knows that he will lead his children and their generations to him. So the legacy we're living, first of all, should be to lay a foundation that our children and their own children will follow towards the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. And I think that is the hallmark of a good man. And righteousness as a gift goes to a good man who opened up his heart to receive it. Praise the Lord. So as we look into all this, we are trying to get our men to be good. We can't be perfect, but we walk towards it. And walking towards it means being good. Praise the Lord. So as we go into all this today, please, I want everybody to remember that all this is about we, the men, wanting to listen to what our wife, our daughter, and our son has to tell us that they expect from us. So my ask this morning is to all the men, please have an open heart. Have a very open mind about this. Even if it doesn't work the way you think it should work for you, have an open mind. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go to
I want to say something. You see, we're missing something very important here. When we talk of a good man, we think we separate wealth from spirituality. It's not true. God joins it all up. Abraham was a good man, but he also prospered. Because part of your covenant is to prosper. If you live a real life of faith, you should experience all your covenant rights. So you can't separate both of them. Poverty is not a blessing. So if you really live a spiritual life, it will show in your material life. It's just like saying, I'm so spiritual, and it doesn't show in the physical things I do. No. I'm done.
Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the other question that is for the mother. Afam. Okay, he doesn't have it. I'm going to read it. The question to the mother is, as a mother, what do you expect from a father who needs to be a good husband to his wife while also promoting the inner growth and strength of his children? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. As a mother, what I expect a good husband and a father to be to his wife and children is to love them, protect them, and promote their inner strength. What I mean by inner strength is parenting should be a partnership something. Two of you have to be on the same page. When a child does something wrong and the father spanks him or her, the wife also should follow and kind of discipline that child and say, what your father did is not wrong. Rather, he's trying to build you up to correct you because you have a lot of things to do in the future. And then a father needs to protect the wife, put roof over them, provide for them, and clothe them. And then be ready to listen when something goes wrong. And you have to be proud when they are doing their best, both in school and both at home. I want to give an example with something that happened with my son sometime when he was 15 years old. He came back and said, Mommy, is it good to go to prom that somebody want to go to prom with me. I said, how old is she? So he said, she's 18. So my husband was in the room. He came out and said, it's not only prom. I'm going to order suit for you for your wedding. So the boy started crying, you know. So he said, oh, my God, that's why I don't like talking to both of you. So I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. So one day in the school, we are doing adolescent psychology. So the lecturer wants everybody to give their own opinion. I raised that. So the lecturer cautioned me. He said, no, you guys couldn't have embarrassed him like that. You have to sit him down and kind of negotiate, tell him, no, you cannot do that. The time hasn't come. That girl is 18, kind of matured more than you in her brain. Wait until your own time. So later I spoke with my husband. We called him and said, Uche, no, you cannot go to prom with her. And we're not going to be there because they say prom, the parents are not there. Wait until your own time. So since then, from now, we have always been like, when he wants something, if he asks me, I say, what did your father say? Sometimes when he asks the father, before he will even come, my husband will come and say, Uche is calling you. You know, so kind of being on the same page with your children. And whenever they do something wrong, do not kind of, oh, you have done the worst thing. Oh, this is going to happen. No. You know, kind of, okay, this thing you did is wrong. I don't want you to do it again. These are the dangers of it. These are the good side of it. So that's what I kind of, you and your wife being on the same page, training your children like that God said. Train a child in the way the child will go. And when he or she grows up, he will never or she will never depart from it. That's my own opinion. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if we got, I think the one I got very well there was the one who told the boy, we're going to buy him a suit too, because I said the same thing. But I just learned too that you can negotiate and you can talk things over. I just learned that now because naturally I would do the same thing. I would say, no, only prom. I go buy suit for you too. I would say, and most of us would say exactly the same thing. It's true. But she just said something now. She just said something now that we can negotiate and we can talk it over. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna open it up to the audience. Anybody who has any contribution towards that? All right, down here, please.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As a mother and as a wife, first of all, I need my husband to be there. Time. A lot of times we get so caught up with trying to make more money that we're not there for our family. It's like the parent, the mom is the one. Oh, sometimes it goes both ways. The children are like left alone. They need your time, not just the money. The children need you to be there. They need to know that you are there for them. Because sometimes they have questions. If you're not there, they can turn to the wrong person. So try to plan your time as a father so that you can have time with your wife and your children at the same time. And again, it's in the country where we are, there's a lot. The women we go to work as the men. So if there are certain things that you can help around the house, that will also help the woman. Because as you're coming back from work, she's coming back from work. So whatever has to be done in the house, be there. And even if you're not doing that thing, encourage her so that she will know that you guys are together. And something else that I would like for a man or a father or husband is that you have to protect your wife from your people. Some people might misunderstand what I'm saying, but you are the one that has to step in between your wife and your people so that they don't get so into your wife that they see her as the monster in the house. That means when there is something, you have to take it up with your people, and she has to take whatever up with her people so that you don't leave her open to your people and she doesn't leave you open to her people so that there will be happiness. The whole family will have one thing in common because you are standing in between your wife and your people, and she's standing in between you and her people. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. There's another part to that question that I like somebody else to talk about is it's about being a good husband, but it says also, while also protecting the inner growth, promoting the inner growth and strength of his children. How can a man promote the inner strength and growth and spiritual growth of his children? Praise the Lord. Can anybody talk to that? Because that is very important.
Praise the Lord. I grew up with a dad that did that for me. Even though my father was a Muslim, he understood promoting my inner, who I am inside. My father was somebody that built my self-esteem as a child. I knew, okay, we were four. I was the only girl, and I was number three, and I had a younger brother, two elder brothers. My father always affirmed me, and I grew up, because I grew up with a kind of love and affirmation I had from my father. He was an unbeliever. It was when I became a Christian, I understand that I flipped it and said, if he was a Christian, a born-again Christian, maybe he would have done to certain extent spiritually. But even as a Muslim and as an unbeliever, my father understood that if I know who I am, if I understand who I am, if I'm at peace with myself inside, that there's nothing outside that I could not handle. So I left home at a very tender age, and I went to college. People were like, I couldn't go to college where I went to college. I'm from Borno State, but my father decided, and I grew up in Lagos, so my father decided at least I should come to school in the north. So I went to school in ABU. My uncle said I was too young. I was 15 plus. He said no. But my father said he knew who he has trained me to be. And he knew that I will go there no matter what happened. I will not derail from what he has put inside of me. My father always answered my question. My father never, never scorned me like in public. Like, you know, I don't know. People that grew up in the north, you know how some people behave when it comes to a girl child. But my father made sure that I knew that first. He told me that I am special. There's nothing else any man could tell me outside that I have not heard from my dad. So because of that, anything you told me, whether I dated guys or something, I had heard it before from home. So there's nothing new that you were telling me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? We have 2 minutes. Anybody else that wants to contribute to this? Are we all scared now because they're talking about? Okay.
Praise God. In addition to being a servant leader as a father to my children, it also, you know, my responsibility to discover the talents that God has put in them, you know, and to help them grow in those areas. Amen. For instance, you know, right now I know the things that my daughter, she's 2.5 years, I've seen, you know, some of the things that she's interested in, that she likes to do. And I think, you know, in the future, I can encourage her. For instance, she likes, you know, to play with balls. That's an interest, you know, at a very tender age. In addition to, you know, training her in school, I can also encourage her in sport. Amen? That's one aspect, you know, that I see it from.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I think discipline was mentioned. So one thing that I wanted to mention was that even when it comes to disciplining the children, even if you may not disagree, it's important to not show that in front of the children. That it's better to just talk on a side about that. So that's just one thing that I wanted to comment on as well.
Praise the Lord.
We just give 1 minute.
Oh,
Also, as the head in the home, is who the father is, who God has placed over everything. So basically, he's really responsible, and understanding the depth of his responsibility should make him to really rely completely on Jesus Christ, because as a head, he's responsible for everything happening and their well-being. It's not an easy role, and we don't even have to call it one by one, but to know that he is the one that God will ask, yeah, what happened here, what happened here? It's really a situation where somebody needs to really begin to beg God for mercy to help him open their eyes to all these responsibilities and how to handle them.
Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the daughter. And the question says, for the daughter, I'm going to read it, please, because they have the wrong one. It says, please explain how you feel a father can use the Christ module to lead his family successfully. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, church, and happy Father's Day to everybody. I wanted to start off by the first point of, I know me as a daughter and looking at my father as a role model, and they always say, like, your father is your first love in this world. So looking at my father and seeing his own relationship with Christ, just like Sister Charity said, of knowing that you're the head and that the head over you is Christ. So always being in communication with him, always having your alone time with him, because if you don't have that alone time with him, how are you supposed to have the instructions that you need to guide your family into that successful path that they need to go into? And it's just like, with Jesus Christ, he always had his times where he would move away from his disciples and he would have that prayer time with just him and God. It's just the same thing as the father and the head of the household. They need that time where they can just be with God, and that shows your wife and also your children you're leading by example, which goes to my next point of having a servant heart of, how can I serve my family more and how can I serve others? Because your children are looking at that and you're implanting certain things in them as they look at you serve other people and serve your household. And then in addition with that, also teaching your children the word of God. Like, Jesus would always break it down to his disciples, the word of God. So finding a way how to break the word of God down to your children so that they can understand it even from a young age. I think I was watching something on YouTube where these parents took their children to a farm for them to understand, like, sowing a seed and how seed falls on rough ground, and just so they can understand it from a young age. But it doesn't necessarily mean you need to do that example, but just breaking it down to them and making them understand at a young age that this word can be applied to your real life. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's just in the book of the Bible. It can be real for each and every one of us. And leading by example of having that servant heart. Jesus Christ, anything that he did it first. When he was baptized, he got baptized, even though John the Baptist was like, no, you're supposed to baptize me. He said, no, you baptize me. And it shows us that, okay, we need to get baptized just like Christ did. If he can do it, then we can do it as well. And when he washed his disciples' feet, he was showing that even though I'm the head, I can still serve. So still being that servant heart, even as a father, it shows to the children, okay, if my father, the head, can do this and he can humble himself, then me too, I can humble myself in certain situations that the world may present me. And my last point would be, as a father, treating your wife as Jesus treated his bride, the church, and seeing that love as a child. I know me as a daughter, if I see my father love his wife, it teaches me how to love other people, because it's a different kind of love that Jesus called you to love your wife in a way. So when I see that love, I see, wow, okay, I can learn how to be understanding. I can know how to love other people like my father loves my wife. I can learn how to, you know, in certain situations, be patient, because you're being patient with my mother. It just shows a leading example of how to love somebody when you love your wife as Jesus loved the church.
Praise the Lord. That was not right. We still have some few minutes for this. I just wanted to say something. I grew up in a village, a very small village, a very, very small village. And I just want to let us know that people, your neighbors, your friends, they watch how you lead your family as a man. You might not know, but people are watching. I say this because when you grow up in a village, you might not know that everybody's watching how you're leading your family as a man. For instance, my dad died when I was six months old. So I grew up under a very wise woman. And all she tells me every time is this. She says, that boy is your friend. That boy is your friend. That boy is your friend. I'm going to tell you, when you go to their house, this boy, listen to what the father is telling him. Because his father is a wise and good man. Listen to his advice. You have no father, but listen to the advice the man gives to his son. And then he points to this family and says, whenever you go there, whatever the man tells his child, come back and ask me before you implement. Praise the Lord. I say this because she's watching. She knows a family that I can go and learn something from. And it did help me because when I go to that family, I'm always like a sponge. Everything that man says, I actually got more than the son got. I actually got so much out of him than his own son did because his son did not know what he had as a father. Praise the Lord. But because my mom has told me that that man is a wise man, and also I started watching the man. When we go out or when they go to meetings or when there's any conflict, when that man speaks, everybody tends to stand and listen. Praise the Lord. So that should be the hallmark of every man. That when you come out and say something, that those around you will say, yes, a wise man has spoken. Praise the Lord. And it should be something good for you that a woman or a man can say, if you want to hear anything wise and useful, go to that man. Praise the Lord. So, like she said, when a man gets into a point in his life that he needs help, he goes to the source of wisdom. He goes to God. Like she said, Christ sometimes leaves the disciples and go and pray and come back and continue. And that's what we should do. We should not let that slide out of our daily activities. We should always resort to the wisdom of God before we move ahead. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yeah, before we go too far with the contribution over that question, we quickly want to take our Sunday school offering. So if you have your Sunday school offering, you can please package it. So we don't know if anybody has any contribution to the third question, the one we're treating presently. I have some things to say too, but I just want everybody to talk first.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also to add to what my sister just said, it's okay also a father in the house as the bishop of the household, like the Bible said, to really help or teach the children or the family, to be the one to lead kind of. When you are available or when you are in the house, going to bed or waking up, let us pray. Let us pray. It's very important. And also to teach the children how to, read the Bible. That's, goes a long way. Like they said before, the legacy you can leave for your children. The best thing is, leading them to Christ, and they lay that foundation because, like my sister also said, train a child the way he should go. When he grew up, he can never depart. Praise the Lord. It's very important for our husband or our men to be the head and to lead. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to mention that A lot of the things that we're saying here and a lot of the questions that we asked, there was one common term that always showed up. He said, a good father, a good man. And we know that there was a passage in the scripture where Jesus himself asked them, why do you guys call me good? Only God is good, right? So it's not to say that us men, fathers, we can't be good, but it's to say that men, especially fathers, you have to be completely dependent on God to achieve that status of being good. And that means that you can't think of yourself as anything outside of God, right? And the reason why I say this is because a lot of times we do this thing where, as Christians, we always say this phrase, which is like, when, like in your spiritual life, and I'm glad Pastor said it, it says you can apply this to your life as well, or you can apply this to your regular life. And that statement kind of irks me a little bit, because do we truly have a life outside of God? If we still see our lives that way, then it means we're still depending on ourselves for some things. But as a father, you have to realize that to really get this thing the way God wants you to do it, you have to be completely dependent on Him. Even to realizing that you don't even know how to be a father without God, right? He said He gave us our wives, right? He's the one that gave her to you. So how can you accurately use or be the way God wants you to be to this person if you don't depend on Him to show you how to be to that woman? He said He gives us our children. He now gives us the urge, the charge to train them in the way they should go. So it's God's children. They're your children. You are the vessel He used to bring them to the world, but they're His children. So you have to be dependent on Him to be able to train His children. The only way your family will be able to get that revelation or that true understanding of God is really through the way you present Him to them. And it starts by you, as us as fathers, really coming to that place of dependence totally on God. Right? There'll be times where you don't know things, right? You have to be dependent on God so that He will teach you how to handle a situation. There are situations where to somebody else's child, it takes a spanking. To your child, God might not need you to spank that child to get a message across. And your spanking leads to more damage. You could go to as many conferences, many teachers. Not saying advice is bad. Advice is very extremely good. But the ultimate advisor is God. And He has given you His spirit in you to be able to ask for advice immediately on the spot. Something happens. Don't try to use your mind to solve it. Holy Spirit, what should I do? I don't know this. This is your child. Help me to help this child nurture the gifts you have given them. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. For this question, I want to answer it from the Bible. The book of 1 Peter 1 verse 21 said, "For even hereunto we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His footsteps." So the question is, how can we use Christ's model to, you know, lead our families? So if we want to lead our families or direct our families in the way that Jesus did, we have to go to the Word of God and find out how Jesus did it. He said we should follow His examples. So for us to know the examples or how to lead our family, we have to go and look into the Bible, into the Word of God, and see how Jesus handled different situations, be it with loving people or relating to people or even trusting God for the things that, you know, the issues that He faced. Because He was like a man when He was here on earth. He underwent what we are going through today. So we have to look into the Word of God and see how He handled all those things. That will help us to be a good leader or role model for the family. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good for us to read the Bible with them, pray with them, but it's good for us to come back to the natural. Show them how to love. If a man shows the kids how to love their wife, then that's a yardstick for the boy or the son to follow and want to, you know, marry, and vice versa. There's no need for you to be half a mile away. Your wife is dragging the stroller and everything, and all of a sudden your son is saying, if this is how to marry, I don't want to get married. So they have to go either to YouTube or to go and get it from somebody. So let's come to the natural, to the physical. Please love. smile with your wife, show them that there's something about love so that they will look forward to it instead of, you know, fighting and, you know, debating on it. It is just a natural thing to do. Please show love. Show how to give. Be open. Let everybody be, like we say in marriage counseling, be naked. Let your wife enjoy you, and so that the kids teach your girls what it means to marry, so that they will look out for something in a man and not just hate the man before the person comes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Since we believe that Jesus Christ is our leader and we are following the step, as a man, when you're leading your family, it's very important that two of you, husband and wife, works. Praise the Lord. It's very important that husband and wife, they work together. Jesus Christ, he worked together with the disciples. And if husband or a wife is going separately, remember that we talked about legacy before. So the children are watching and see where there's a division or where people are working on their own way. The children, you wouldn't know that they're seeing these things. By the time they leave the family and get married and relocate, if you're the one that like to work separate, you want to visit them, whether a man or a woman, whether a husband or whether a man or a woman, he'll be afraid for you to come to his or her home because you're not working together. So if you want to leave legacy or lead the house, as men as leader, make sure you work with your wife. Wife and husband, make sure you work together. Not in a situation that somebody would like to live a life that so the children will like you or say you're nice, the other person is not nice. Make sure everything you do it together so the devil will not clip in. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's also important for the father to believe in the children. Very, very important. You have to believe that these children, that the training you're giving them, that it's going to work. You have to be positive. I use myself as an example. My father so believed in me that I am so confident. Whatever I go, whatever I do something, even at this my age, I remember doing my convocation last month. The first thing my brother said to me, he said, you know, sister, you know, our father will be very proud of you. You know, I don't know how to say it because my father so believed in me. So it's important that you believe in your children. That confidence that you believe in them, it propels that child. It's very, very important. You're doing something and you know, my father is proud that I'm doing this and all those things. It helps that child. So believe in your child and believe that the trainings you're giving that child, that it will work. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that it is very important that we as parents be our children's first teachers. It is very important. In 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 2 and 3, there's something the Bible said there, and I think it says, you are the epistle written in our heart, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of God. And it still goes down. This goes down to tell us that if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, this epistle will not be in you because the Spirit communicates to the Spirit. I like what Anu mentioned. You know, it's very important that we as parents, that we go to God in everything. It doesn't matter how little it is. We model this life to Christ, and you cannot model what you don't have. If you don't have a relationship with God, with the Spirit of God, you have absolutely nothing to teach these kids. I'm telling you the truth. So it boils down to you, first of all, having that relationship. Because sometimes we think we can do this by our flesh. We think we can do it. Oh, we read all these, we read all the articles, all the research they do. But it boils down to the man that made you, the man that handed these kids to you, having a relationship with him is all the main thing. And how do you do that? If you have that relationship with God, you understand that no matter what you're seeing, no matter what your eyes is seeing, that God has an answer, and you go to him for that answer. Praise the Lord.
Awesome. That was a good one. I want to also call our attention to, you know, the fact that neither me or anybody, you know, can change my wife or my children. Amen? The best God has called me to do is to be an example of his love, just like, you know, they have mentioned. To be an example of his love in the role he has called me to be as a father. And as I develop my relationship with him and also depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I also pray and allow God to do the transformation. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We just want to call our attention to it that the three questions is all we're discussing about right now. The floor is open. You can make contribution on all the three questions, not just limited to the third one we treated. So we're still taking more contribution because we have a little bit more time. But before we take the next contribution, I know some of us were a little bit late. We came late and we took the Sunday school offering earlier. So please, if you need a Sunday school envelope offering for the Sunday school envelope, we can give you one. Just wave your hand anywhere if you're not giving your Sunday school offering or you want to give your Sunday school offering. So please wave your hands. The ushers will come around and take it from you. Thank you.
Good morning. This is what I wanted to say. You know, people who live with you know you better than anybody. If you want to know, for instance, who I am, like, ask Natty. I grew up with him. He would tell you details about me that nobody else would know. For instance, your children watches a parent all the time. They know what's important. They know what's of value. They know what the things that you treasure. For instance, how I knew Jesus was real when the Muslims at NJIT came after me to convert me into Islam with sound argument, that makes sense, is because I saw my mom was sick. She didn't do nothing but pray, and we watched God heal her. So when they came to me and tell me Jesus was not the Son of God, there was no other argument they could build. I knew they were wrong. I know I did not know Jesus enough at that time because I was doing what I was doing, but I knew the right path was Jesus because I've already seen it displayed for me. So at the end of the day, we can come here, we sound churchy, we sound good. Your children watches you. They know you. You can't fake it. You can't. We say live by example, by example. I found out that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. It's naturally built into nature for people to follow a leader. For instance, the lion, the baby cubs naturally follow what they see their parents do. A lot of the time we see certain behaviors from our children, it's not the devil. It's you they've been watching. You've been lying to yourself the whole time. Oh, yes, they see when your wife asks you, can you pass me the salt? Here, take. They know something is not right because that's not naturally how you respond to somebody you're in good harmony with. They know, and we know we are not stupid. I see the families in the parking lot, let's go. We see that. And we can come here sound all nice and cute and stuff like that. Yes, but listen, we see it. And you know, when you do as I say, not as I do, you become a tyrant. Watch this, in all those Muslim countries, don't you see when people leave those countries how excited they are?
They feel like they have left oppression because those same leaders who's enforcing those rules are not following them. And now when you become a tyrant, when people leave your rule, everything that you say, they rebel against it. But when you do as I do, even when you leave them, what you have done with meekness, you have engrafted the word of God in their heart. So now, even when you are gone, they will still be listening to it because you didn't enforce it on them. I mean, it's very important that we say that. I mean, I hear we sound good. We've been biblical and all that good stuff. Yeah, that's good. But at the end of the day, listen, like, we have to be real with ourselves. Because your children are watching you. Because Abraham, his children followed after him long after he was gone because of the life that he modeled. But do you know David also, some of the children rebelled against him because of the way he was? Like, it's good we have to be honest with ourselves, people. Come on, let's be real.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. First of all, I just wanted to use this opportunity to say happy Father's Day to our great fathers, the great men of this house. You guys are awesome and you are rocking. We love and we appreciate you. Now, I also wanted to encourage you to know that the responsibility that the Father has committed into your hands is not too difficult, because he has given you what it takes to make a huge success. He trusted you well enough to give you that responsibility, the wife, and also the children that he gave to you. And it all comes from his word. Like our beloved brother Uche was telling us the other time, we have this Bible in different shapes today. The one that we are familiar with, our cell phones, iPad. You can also go to the YouTube and you will get it there. I want to encourage us not to get too busy to set aside the manual that shows us the path to follow in this work of grace and work of love that the Father has committed into our hands. The boundaries are set there. Don't get too busy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Let's spend quality time studying, meditating on the word of God. These things prepares us so that we can lead boldly because we have received information from the Father. And we've been taught so much here, and we are still being taught about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it all comes through fellowshipping with the word of God. Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. If it's not so, I don't think it would have been written there. He meant every word of it. So as his sheep, it's certain, even as I'm talking now, you're hearing me. How much more the one that created ears? He knows that he gave you the ears to hear him. And that's why he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And he said, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So that's why I said it's not too difficult. You follow the inward witness. As you fellowship with the word of God, meditate on the word of God, get instruction from the manual, hear him for every aspect of the responsibility that he has committed into your hands. He will always communicate. Follow that inward peace. Be bold about it if you have peace about it, because you're feeding on the word, you're meditating on the word, and the master assured you that you will hear him. If he led them in the Old Testament, we are in a better covenant. So the Father still speaks to you so that you don't lead by yourself. You lead by the instruction you have received from the master. And once that is the case, just simply yield in total obedience. It will be reflecting in everything that you do, so that what your children will be seeing in you
will be wonderful examples from the master, because you yourself, you have received from the manual and you're sticking with the path. Come rain, come sunshine. No matter how difficult the situation is, he will always step in and the end will always be peace. But patiently follow that path. Do not derail as you receive from the master. So you are good to go. You've been doing so wonderfully well, but we are encouraging you to get into the root, the more, the foundation, Jesus Christ. It's all in the word. He gave us his word. He sent his word. His word today is Jesus Christ. It's all in the word. Looking unto Jesus, not unto your wife, not unto your children, not unto the other family. As you look unto Jesus, the word directs you. Your wife will be enjoying you, like I'm enjoying my husband today. And your children will also be enjoying you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day again. A wonderful Father's.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to give the panelists probably 2 minutes each to summarize what they have.
Okay, so to summarize mine, mine was a good or righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That speaks of generational. So you're passing it down from yourself to your children to their children. That's spiritual, emotional, physical. So those things are passed down and transmitted. And so you can't give what you don't have. So you have to store up, and then what is stored up in you is what you give to your children. So that's what mine was, the gist of it.
And mine's was living that Christ model out as a father. I think, as everybody summarized already, is just being in contact with the Father at all times, because he's the only one that can really guide you as the father of your household, with your children and with your wife, is always being in communication with him and always studying his word and just leading by example through that.
Praise the Lord. Okay, my own still boils down on the parents promoting the inner strength of their children. What am I saying here is we need to train our children following the instructions God has given us in the Bible. And another thing as promoting the inner strength is, please, our men, do not leave everything about household teaching to the wife. Whatever you know that you can teach your children to improve them in the future, teach them. Like for me, I learned how to iron suit from my father. So sometimes, because he was a teacher, so he would tell me, he calls me Wanyilolo. So he would call me Wanyilolo, come and iron this trouser for me. I would be like, daddy, why don't you give it to the boys to iron? He would tell me, said, so if you marry and your husband asks you to iron his clothes, will you say you don't know how to do it? So I learned how to do that from him. Another thing I learned from him is, there's one adage he normally tells me, because there's a neighbor, like what our brother said, that in the village, everybody knows who is who. So there's a family, there always the man will always come out and scream and shout and talk. And when you hear, it will be like the wife doesn't talk, but the wife will go in and tell him something and he will come out and start screaming. I'm going to translate the adage in English, but I'll first of all say it in Igbo. He said, "Wan putara nu tie mpu dia puta akugbuo ya." So I now looked at him. I was like, what do you mean by that? But they did something wrong to her and she came out. My father said, no, it's not everything that you say. And he helped me in my marriage. Like, I was always ringing bell. Like, if something happened, or maybe brother-in-law or anybody do something, my husband, I don't talk. So sometimes I address it with the person and they will be the one to tell my husband, maybe 2 days. But if anyway, go up and see him the other time, I said, no. You know, that thing helped me, because anytime I want to say something, I was just like, what happened is what she expected, you know. So please, as parents, so please, parents, let us know follow the instructions God has given us in training our children, whatever we know that will improve them in the future, let us endeavor to teach them that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to try. My English is not that good, but I'm going to try to translate what she said in English. Hold on, please. Hold on. I'm going to try and translate that in English. All right. We have only 1 minute, please. What she said as close as I can come is this. A woman that saw something outside ran back into the room, told the husband about it in a very, very urgent way. And then the husband rushes out to handle that, and he's killed in that process. What the woman wanted has just happened. Because what it means is this. She actually brought him out to be prosecuted. Praise the Lord. So men, when your wife rushes in with any story that is going to rush you out, please stay where you are. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.